After 28 years of serving up desperately needed distraction to restless Americans on supermarket checkout lines, the Weekly World News is powering down its presses this month. Maybe we should have actually bought it once in a while. It served all kinds of people in all sorts of ways.
They contact us because they know they can get a straight answer from us or have us do the investigation.
That was managing editor Bob Greenberger. Here's executive editor Paul Kupperberg on the phone.
Telepathic marketers? All right.
I just want to know, do you have any advice on how to make them stop?
The easiest way is a spaghetti strainer and tin foil.
We took that sound off the Weekly World News' website because their bosses in Florida wouldn't let them talk to us. And now that's really the only way readers can get access to the Weekly World News. It's moved exclusively online. Of course, we don't know if that call was from an authentic reader. We strongly doubt it. But what does authentic really mean when it comes to the Weekly World News or its readers?
First of all, there were the lunatic fringe readers who believed those stories.
You mean I had an alien's baby, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that type of thing.
Bill Sloan is the author of I Watched a Wild Hog Eat My Baby, A Colorful History of the Tabloids. Once he was an editor at the National Enquirer. Can you describe who the typical true believer was, what he or she looked like?
Probably a woman in her 60s who thought that there were a lot of plots and subplots around, suspicious of most things and people, and not well educated. And then there were a lot of young people, college students, high school students, that bought the paper and read it strictly for kicks.
For the headlines, as in a recent one declaring that Mother Nature had endorsed Al Gore, or an earlier one claiming that George W. Bush was openly running for Pope, or that Hillary Clinton had adopted an alien baby.
You know, we're a little bit different than some news organizations.
In 2001, we spoke to then Weekly World News managing editor Lesky Pinson.
They say they never pay for their stories. We would never pay for a story, some of them say. But you know, but hey, when it's a big picture like the space alien shaking hands with a presidential candidate or the bad boy with Al Gore, we're not afraid to go sometimes six figures, maybe eight figures, count both sides of the decimal point for a photograph like that.
Maybe that's why they had to stop the presses, all those pricey photos. But again, we strongly doubt it. It's probably because everything the Weekly World News does, others do more profitably, like conspiracy theories. True believers can find entire websites devoted to proving humans never walked on the moon or the government is harboring extraterrestrial secrets in Area 51. Or how about political satire masquerading as news reports? Look no further than The Onion or The Daily Show. You want angry white men? The Weekly World News had one, the pseudonymous Ed Anger, who was, quote, angrier than a smoker in a submarine, a beaver in the desert, a kid stuck in summer school, a porcupine in a thorn bush, a tea drinker named Joe. A tea drinker named Joe. About virtually everything in modern life. But Stephen Colbert is funnier, and true believers can find all the ire they desire in Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. But the Weekly World News did have something no one else had, a character first featured in the summer of 92 whose tales of recklessness and occasional heroism graced cover after cover ever since.
In a cave many miles to the south lives a boy born with fangs in his mouth, sleeping until the fading light, flying through bloody dreams. When he awakes, the summer night is filled with screams.
You have heard he was born in the box, that he feeds on the flies and the frogs.
You call him beast or changeling
or demon chimpanzee,
but we will prove he's no such thing.
He's much like me.
The Weekly World News covered Bat Boy like a 50-cent deodorant, with headlines like Bat Boy Attacks Girl, 10, Bat Boy Endorses Gore, Bat Boy Announces Run for California Governorship, Bat Boy Leads Cops on Three-State Chase, Kid Saving Up for Plastic Surgery to Look Like Bat Boy. The original front-page photo of Bat Boy, with the headline Bat Child Found in Cave, was the second best-selling issue in the tabloid's history, according to Wikipedia. Can't imagine what the bestseller was. And it spawned a popular off-Broadway musical, as you can hear. Bat Boy is a tabloid reader's hero, a freak who acts out. In the musical, he longs for conformity and achieves it by becoming what else? a certified public accountant.
I will paint your houses, I'll milk your cows at dawn. I will do your laundry, and I will mow your lawn. Let me file your taxes, I am a CPA. And maybe then you'll shake my hand someday.
Who among us doesn't harbor a tabloid reader, not to mention a freak yearning to act out? We can't get that from Stewart, or Colbert, or even O'Reilly. They're either too smart or too smug. Bat Boy was a mess of a human being. Bat Boy was humanity with all the rationality stripped away and all the innocence. The time for that kind of tabloid is over. Now, when we want irrational freaks, we have to settle for celebrities.
They stripped him of his dignity. They beat him like a gong. And he was kicked repeatedly.
And that was wrong. So wrong.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Michael Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Andrea Ambrose and Madeline Ellish. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org, and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Chris Bannon. Bob, never fear, we'll be back next week.
On the Media is supported by the Bydell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.